Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman. As critical climate talks get underway in Bonn, Germany, let's do the numbers. Negotiators from 183 nations will be there to try to keep the level of carbon dioxide in the air under 450 parts per million, or else global temperatures could rise by more than 2 degrees Celsius. And things don't look good. Last year, we pumped 31 billion tons of CO2 into the atmosphere, the highest in history. For the story behind the numbers, Living on Earth's Steve Kerwood spoke with one of the leading scientists attending the Bonn Climate Talks.
With me now is Kilapati Ramakrishna. He's Vice President and Director of Policy for the Woods Hole Research Center in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. Now, this meeting in Bonn is the 34th of these climate meetings, but frankly, some folks say they don't seem to be showing a whole lot of results. Tell me, why is this meeting important?
This meeting is to be seen in light of the progress made in Cancun. And Cancun progress is to be seen in light of what the world community wanted to accomplish in Copenhagen and, by broad perception, did not. This is the session that is going to help us get to where we need to be so that when we convene in Durban, we make progress.
These talks are taking place now in the context of the latest research from the International Energy Agency that says that the concentration of CO2 is now up to a record 395 parts per million in the atmosphere. How much do you think this information will add urgency to these talks?
That information is giving everybody a pause that despite putting in place a series of measures and national legislations and regional agreements and what have you, that the trend is continuing upwards. And that is a cause for concern and also brings in a certain amount of urgency and more needs to be done.
So the Kyoto Protocol will expire next year, the so-called first commitment period of the Kyoto Protocol. What were the goals of Kyoto and how successful have countries been in reaching those goals? Doesn't sound like a whole lot has happened.
Right. If you take the Kyoto Protocol, you know, the first commitment period basically talked about emissions reductions by industrialized countries to the tune of about 5% as a collective. But they did not talk about what the developing countries might do, and the emissions from the developing countries are increasing, as they should, because of their needs for economic development and so on. In other words, measures by the industrialized countries alone as part of the Kyoto Protocol first commitment period are not sufficient.
As I understand it, the big impasse at these meetings is that the developing countries say they're going to reduce their emissions, but they want to do it on a voluntary basis at the same time that industrialized nations are to go forward on a binding basis. Now, industrialized nations agreed to do that back when this began, but now they say that, look, developing nations have huge growth in emissions and that everybody should be together on this. Everyone should agree to a binding commitment.
Clearly, we will not have a situation where all parties agree to the same kind of legal measures. You have to look at what large emitters, as they're called, you know, India and China are doing. China closed down about 2,000 inefficient factories. And if you look at their next five-year plan, it has ambitious measures on energy efficiency. And the same thing can be said about India. So you need to factor those things in and think about not just one legal instrument, as we have historically been familiar with, but by keeping it all under public scrutiny, develop a system of naming and shaming, and keep the pressure on the governments through these conferences and various sessions under the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change.
The climate talks in Copenhagen did agree that developing countries would get some $30 billion from the developed world to spend on climate mitigation and adaptation over the course of 3 years. We're now, what, 1.5 years into that timetable for the money. What's it been spent on, and how much has come from the countries that made these pledges?
A very good question. If you ask the industrialized countries, their response is that, yes, we have spent a lot of that amount already. But if you ask the developing countries, they say, no, nothing has come through so far. So the short answer to the question is not much is seen so far, though 1.5 years had lapsed. This is really, as the executive secretary said, the golden key. If you demonstrate that the money is flowing to where it is needed, then more countries would want to join in actions. to reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
Now, in Cancun, participants agreed, I believe for the first time, on a maximum temperature change, average temperature rise for the Earth of, 2 degrees Celsius? But, Kilapati Ramakrishna, practically what does that mean? And how would one enforce such an agreement anyway?
To keep the temperature increase to below 2 degrees Celsius, what the scientific community tells us is that by 2020, emissions will have to be at 44 billion tons. And if you were to succeed in that goal, there is only a 50% chance of keeping the temperature to below 2 degrees Celsius by 2020. But the challenge does not stop there. Once you reach 2020, you need to reduce emissions rapidly, almost 2% per annum, going up to 2050 to keep the temperature increase at a safe level. We have never seen reductions of that kind in the history of human development. But it can be done because there is no other alternative.
How do you stay optimistic in looking at this? Our record is that we don't seem to be able to get to reductions.
I'm optimistic because finally, this is a normal topic of conversation amongst finance ministers and presidents and prime ministers of the world. They can make it happen. It needs to be a concerted attempt at the global level like never before attempted. But if you believe this to be a global problem requiring, you know, global solutions, given the commitment that various heads of state and government demonstrated so far, it can be done.
Kilapati Ramakrishna is Vice President and Director of Policy at the Woods Hole Research Center in Massachusetts. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much, Steve.
I'm Steve Kerwin.